Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. What's good, fellas?
Will T.
I was delaying to let Ray go.
Y'all be scaring me. I'm like,
I didn't
maybe
want to talk over.
Y'all be scaring me. I'm like, do I not have you guys on? Okay, yeah. What's good? What's going on, fellas?
I'm doing good, man. Feeling better. Without for the last 2 weeks. Excited to be back. Talk sports with my guys.
Awesome, man. Hey, what's going on, Ray? How you feeling, bro?
Everything is everything, and I'm kind of feeling some nostalgia because this is how we were when COVID was really popping off early on in like 2021. We were on the phone and we never knew who we was going to talk and when. So it's kind of like I said, it's like a throwback Thursday. Hey, it is Thursday too.
By the way,
it's not a regular show.
Facts,
so
facts,
perfect thing.
You know what? Yes, it's throwback Thursday. Hey, anyway, Amp Papyri Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, do not forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DC region. Excuse me, DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
And yeah, don't forget to catch the Urban Sports Scene on social media. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Hey, check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Challenge.
The Will T and the Urban Sports Scene Football versus Football Garbage Time
Challenge. Here we go. Go ahead, bro.
Tell them, Will T, you the reigning champ, bro. Let them know.
Exactly. That's thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debate.
Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Hey, yo, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders losing to the Dallas Cowboys 25-10 and their upcoming game against the Tennessee Titans with Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington Commanders reporter, Donna Hopkins. At 8:30, tune in to our interview with lightweight star boxer Shakira Stevenson. And finally, in our segment HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with former NBA great and Fisk University men's basketball coach Kenny Anderson. But right now, we have Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington Commanders reporter Donna Hopkins on the line. What's good, Donna?
What's up? You know what? I see that you three need to get it together like this Washington Commanders.
I know.
Y'all are all over the place, too, just like this team.
Hey, you're right. We are all over the place. This is no lie, Donna. You're right. Hashtag fire Scott Turner. Yeah, but you're right, though. We're all over.
Wow. So you throw your hash. You throw your hashtag.
Oh man, this thing.
There, huh?
This thing going social. This going viral, man. This thing real. This thing is real.
Donna, tell Wole that he'll never get invited back to the press box if he keeps putting out these hashtag fire Pat Turner tweets. But anyway,
yeah,
all right, last time.
Look, all I got to say is just tell the truth.
Just thank you, Donna.
There's enough people not being for real.
Oh, know what? See, Will, someone's on my side. Someone's on my side.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
you
got to
keep
it
real here.
Let's get into it. Last Sunday, the Washington Commanders failed to Dallas Cowboys 25%. What were your thoughts on Washington's performance, Ray?
I want someone to wake me up from this bad dream, this nightmare that I'm having with this team, because they go up to Dallas. They drop their third straight game. They go up there, and the offense, you know, they said, we're going to put the pieces together after the Eagles game. We're going to go back and look at the film. How much film can you look at and not realize the mistakes? And that's the thing that I can't understand. The first thing they said, we got to go back and look at the film. Well, what is the film saying each week? Because each week you're doing the same thing. Okay, they got the running game going, 142 yards. But when you look at this team over the course of this season right now, only 8 touchdowns, 5, I think sacked 17 times. He's thrown 5 interceptions. And, I mean, it's just a shambles. This offensive side of the ball was supposed to be stronger. I mean, you got all the weapons and everything, but everybody's trying to blame it on the offensive line. Yes, the offensive line is getting pushed around, but that is the Commander's fault, because during the offseason, when they needed to shore up this offensive line, they got flyers still out there that they could bring back that, to me, was one of their best offensive linemen, but you didn't want to pay him because you paid Carson Wentz too much money that you couldn't get other people. So that is what's wrong with this team right now with this Dallas game, is that this offense is not producing, and you got the weapons. I mean, you got 3 receivers that are solid. The running game produced, they stuck with that. But Carson Wentz is part of the problem too. So they're trying to blame it all on the offensive line. He's had 2 intentional grounding when it was his fault. That was on him, because he's not getting away from nobody. A mobile quarterback is what is needed right now with an offensive line that's beat up like that. So it's enough blame to go around from the offensive line as far as the quarterback to the offensive play calling. You just picked your poison.
Now, when Carson Wentz was in Philly, it was the same excuse. The offensive line play isn't good. So we're seeing a common denominator when it comes to him. So I do agree with you, Donna. Perfect way to start the show. But I want to ask you, is this rock bottom for Coach Ron Rivera? And does he need to make some changes? And does he need to make them now?
Well, everybody keeps saying, you know what, we're just 4 games into the season. There's a lot of football to be played. But you can't continue to make the same mistakes and say, because guess what? Time is going to run out. Before you know it, you're up, and we're going to be 14 games into the season, and then we're going to be talking about this same thing. So everybody is on the hot seat when you say Ron Rivera. But you said that in Philadelphia, he played well in Philadelphia when he was drafted. I mean, he was solid there until he got hurt. But right now, you know, they said, when I say that everybody's on the hot seat, last year they said, when we get a quarterback in here, Scott Turner is going to be able to make things happen in this offense. He's going to be able to open it up. All I'm seeing is the same thing. And when you talk to some of the players from opposing teams, they said, we know what this team is going to do every time on offense. No adjustments to the course of the game. You can't wait to halftime to make adjustments, which they didn't make no adjustments. Because Dallas's defense, I'm not taking that from them, they're solid. But still, you have to be able to make adjustment in the course of the game. You can't wait till halftime, because by the time halftime comes, it may be too late. You might be on life support. And right now, this team is a bit on life support in games. So you're trying to, like, figure out, okay, what team is going to show up each week? And now you got a bad situation on the offensive line, that you lost another offensive lineman, Sam Cosmi. So that's another starter. And so you got to piece together offensive line right now. It's almost like putting a Band-Aid over a wound that never heals, and that's what's going on right now on the offensive side of the ball. It's hemorrhaging because you haven't let the wound heal enough for this offense to go forward. And Carson Wentz, to me, and with Scott Turner, he hasn't done anything new for the offense. I mean, it's no new wrinkles and everything. Then you got Dotson out this week. You might have Brian Robinson Jr. back, but still you have some of the same problems happening on that opposite side of the ball.
To answer your question,
everybody, hot seat.
So, yeah, you see, Donna, you mentioned, you know, Scott Turner. Hashtag fire Scott Turner. This is the consistent issue to me is something that, you know, we always make, like you mentioned last season, but about – getting this guy the quarterback. It's always something when it comes to Scott Turner as the play caller. The first year was, you know, he had Dwayne Haskins, a rookie quarterback. Then he had Alex Smith that same year, a guy who was like basically playing off one leg. Then year two is Taylor Heineke. You know, year three is now like the offensive line, or you know, Carson Wentz not, you know, holding the ball too long or whatever. When does it come down to like the common denominator? Like there, because we've heard this term before. Like this guy could be a boy genius, right? And we've seen other coordinators out here. Like you got Kyle Shanahan has had lesser talent. No one like Jimmy G. A lot of people, you ask a lot of fans, they're like Jimmy G sucks. But Jimmy G has taken the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. Look what he did with Jared Goff. Before Jared Goff was even relevant, people were like, he's a bust. He's gotten Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, talk about Sean McVay. I mean, I'm talking about Sean McVay, excuse me, when I talk about the Rams. But when do we put onus on this guy as a coordinator until a point where, you know, he didn't have a track record like other individuals, like in terms of the only track record you know is nepotism of, you know, being North's son. Ron Rivera obviously owes a lot to North because North pretty much gave Ron his first job up in San Diego. So, like, when do we start looking at this dude and saying, you know what? Like you just mentioned, other teams have, when you ask other teams, this offense is predictable. They say that they know what's going to happen. When do we look as fans and even as Ron Rivera, when do we look at him and say, you know what? You may not be the guy.
Well, I think you got to look at everything, every part of the team. And you know, they could turn it around. We don't know that. But, you know, each game you're holding your breath to hoping that they will come out and produce and everything. But I think this year is his third year. Most of the time coaches come in and they give them 3 years. And so if that's the case, then this is the third year. And not only that, you got to be able to see some progression. To me, this team is going backwards. I don't see any progression from his first year, because when you look at the wins and the losses, even though they may have made the playoffs, why are you happy about 7 wins and so forth? That's not nothing to be patting yourself on the back. You should be wanting to improve each year, and I haven't seen that improvement. And they keep saying we're almost there, we're close there and everything. But you're not seeing – I'm not seeing the fire from this team. I'm not seeing – you know, coaches. I like the coach that went off a couple of games ago. I mean, that's the passion that you want to see when things are not going right, is that you're mad about it. So to answer your question, Wally, right now is when you look at everything. You assess everything right now. As far as every game right now is an assessment for coaches and everybody moving into next year and everything. So if you don't see that improvement as far as this team moving forward and everything, then you have to make those hard decisions as far as, you know what, we don't have time to waste right now, because Ron Rivera promised when he came here that he was going to turn this around and that this year was going to be different than last year because they were close to this. But my question is, how can it be close when everybody knows that in order to build a championship team and everything, you've got to start in the trenches between the offensive line and the defensive line, and then you build everybody else around that. And if this has not built the offensive line for forever, and then you think about all the players that they let go, the Trent Williams, the Morgan Moses, even though Morgan is not playing much, the Brian Scherf Flowers is out there, and that list can go on and on and on. So you are gambling this year to say, we're going to get our quarterback. And so the offensive line, we think that they're in better enough shape. So Ron Rivera said that when they started the season, the offensive line didn't have these injuries. But over the last 8 years, this offensive line has been injury prone. So that's what you should have looked at, is building that offensive line. I would have been able to stomach, and the fans probably would have been able to stomach it better, is that if you build an offensive line and the defensive line seemed to be playing well, pretty good in the last 2 weeks. But if you build those two areas first, then the fans could probably come up for air and say, you know, we're starting where we need to start first. And then this quarterback situation, they just constantly can't get this right. The teacher is going to put them in the corner.
You said what?
And make them stand.
Not to put in the corner. But, Don, I got one comment.
You know, with the face in the creases.
I do have one comment from a listener, Donna, and they're talking about, you know, pretty much saying Wentz ain't it. There's one that says Eric, and it's from Eric, Heineke for president. So I'm guessing he wants Heineke to be the quarterback. And also, he said the team shouldn't be scared to play Howell. So if it comes to like benching Carson Wentz, who would you rather see, Howell or Heineke?
Well, let me just say, throughout training camp, Howard had the better training camp. He's more mobile. He seemed to have the stronger arm than Heineke. They're not going to probably bump to go if they did make that change to the next quarterback up. It probably wouldn't be Howard, because they're not going to bump over Heineke, because he played last year. He played in other systems, so he probably knows the system a little bit more. Now, does that make this team better with him or whatever? I don't know. Because right now, I think that they got the person that can lead this team overall. I think Howard is a good backup, because you don't know what you got with him. But do you throw him to the wolves and with the considering this offensive line is what it is, or do you take your chances to try to establish this season some if Carson Wentz doesn't step up? Because right now, when I watched him in Dallas, he is shell shocked.
Yeah,
it's all, and I mean, I would be shell shocked if I saw every time I look, people are in my face and I'm running for my life. But it goes back to the offensive coordinator. You know, you don't have a mobile quarterback.
Uh-huh.
So you've got to be able to put together a scheme that protects him a little bit to give him the time enough, even if it's a 1-2 step, and then you're firing the ball and everything, or use your tight ends to come in to block. You've got to be creative right now because of the injuries and the situations that you're in. Because right now, that offensive line is not going to get better. It seems like every week somebody is going down.
Will?
Y'all almost sound like y'all at a funeral, because
no.
you almost like you was like, yeah.
No,
yeah.
What you done? Because the team sucks.
I'm just messing because the way y'all sound is the way the fans feel right now. Is that, can we stop the hemorrhaging? Can we stop the bleeding? Can we finally move forward? And I mean, it's been some light daylight when you go to the other side of the ball, because let me tell you, Deron Payne is playing some ball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they didn't want to sign him to give him his contract and whatever, but he's saying, if y'all don't sign me, I'm making sure some other team sees my quality. And John Allen is playing well, because they've been able to stop the run up the middle, and that's something that the last couple of years they couldn't stop nobody. And the running backs was running all over the place. But they've done a good job in the last 2 weeks. But they've got Derrick Henry coming in here. He's like a wrecking ball, a foot train, because if he's not running over you in the backfield, he's running over you catching the ball out of the backfield.
You ain't lying.
Well, Donna, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Donna. A lot of people have advocated for, such as Wole, hashtag fire Scott Turner. But if they were to let Scott Turner go, who would be the guy that would be next in line, do you think, on that staff to take over for him? Or would the next offensive coordinator be someone that's outside of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the coaching staff right now, it would almost have to be somebody outside the organization. Now, I don't think that they're going to get rid of Scott Turner in the course of the middle of this, unless, it's almost like Dan Snyder did when he fired Norv Turner, in the middle of the night. But that was close to the end of the season. But I mean, when you look across, I don't know if there's anybody in-house that you would put as the offensive coordinator right now. But when Coach Gibbs and, everybody, you got to talk about successful coaches when they were here. I mean, his first year when they were, I mean, when he was struggling and whatever, and he was an offensive-minded coach. He went out and got top-notch people that was qualified for the job. The Bobby Batzer, as far as the GMs, but he got Richie Pettibone, and then he had, a great offensive line coach, offensive coordinator. He went out and got people. So you can't just keep, like Wally said, you just can't keep, just because you knew the problem and whatever. My bottom line is, I'm about winning. And I mean, I'm sure he is too, but I'm not going to bring a offensive coordinator in here, and I believe that everybody should get an opportunity, but I'm not going to bring an offensive line, offensive coordinator in here that has never coordinated before, because you're bringing him into a situation, almost a failure, because this team has not won in like forever. And so you want somebody that's up, you know, up to speed and ready to rock and roll, of knowing how a seasoned, more seasoned person. So I'm not for sure who's out there, because Ron Rivera has to say as far as who comes and goes, because he's the general manager and the head coach. And I've never liked, you know, to have a coach be the general manager too, because I think that that puts too much pressure on them to try to do two jobs and whatever, of having that much control. And it, to me, the coach should just, you know, focus on coaching and everything versus all the other pieces of being a general manager. And I think that's what Coach Gibbs did, you know, well, is that he was the head coach, and that's, and he has something to say about the talent. And if you notice across the NFL, coaches that have that, you know, tag of they wanted to be the GM and the head coach, I don't think as many of those people succeeded at that, because it's just too much that you have to concentrate on versus just, you know, one area of the team.
True. Hey, so Donna, you did.
I mean, they've got.
Go ahead, Donna. Sorry.
I'm just saying they've got tough decisions to make if this ship doesn't turn.
Oh, that, I agree. They have a lot of tough decisions. So, Donna, you mentioned the Titans. The Commanders have the Titans next on Sunday. It looks like running back Brian Robinson Jr. will be back. We'll be back that game after being shot in the leg about a month ago. What will be his impact on the offensive side of the ball for this team?
Yeah, I'm not for sure how much they're going to play him. I think that they're going to ease him in, which I would do that. I would ease him in, because people got to realize Brian has been out for 5 weeks. Even though he's been working out and whatever, that has not been the football type of workout that you, the impact, the pounding that you get in the course of a game situation. So I'm sure that the Commanders are going to ease him into the offense, and not just throw him in there and then expect him to be Superman. And even though Brian, you know, with you would want to be Superman, because that's what that to me reminds me of, with his attitude and just his determination to overcome what he's been through. But I think, as Coach Rivera said, they want to ease him along into this. So I think that you may not see him as much as people think that they're going to see him, but I think that he's going to be in there. But let me tell you, in training camp, he is all of that. He is a true running back that would help this team, that would have helped this team if he would have started, but will help this team moving forward. The more they get him in there in the coming weeks and everything, you're going to see an impact as far as in that running game. And the running game hasn't been bad this year so far.
Solid.
If they stick with it.
Yeah.
If they stick with it, but I think that they're going to stick with him. And that running game, because Antonio Gibson has ran the ball pretty good also. So I would like to see more so them get Logan Thomas in there. I mean, you think about Carson Wentz, he always went to his tight end. Well, he can't even find the tight end right now.
Yeah, I know.
The tight end is almost like out on the island, because he ain't even looking for that tight end right now.
No, I agree. I think that the interesting thing about it is, well, with him being back, and when he's totally 100%, I am interested to see, are they going to really, you know, run the football? Because to your point, even within these games, they have run the ball effectively in spurts, and the coordinator has tended to go away from running the football. So I'm interested to see with him being back on the field, will that change him?
Will it change as far as
Scott Turner? Because they've been running well, to be honest with you. Jonathan Williams looked good against the Cowboys. Like, they ran well. And he still decided to kind of, like, want to drop back and have Carson out there on the island. So, I'm interested. I'm real interested.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's not going to – I mean, the running game is not the thing that's broken right now, because the run blocking is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's the pass blocking that needs to come up. So I think that I mean, I don't know how you rectify the passing game and to give Carson a little more time, because like I said, he looks a little jumpy right now. out there, but I think it's him some, I mean, it's him somewhat also because his passes are not sharp. I mean, they're over the receiver's heads and he's not almost like connecting, you know, with the receivers and everything. With a lot of balls that's long. And when you think about it, you look at the course of these four games, the long ball is just not existing at all. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't have the time to get it off, but still, I don't even see them go upfield. Yeah. They're doing the same little stuff that they were doing last year, little dinky passes and whatever. They've got to be able to open up this because I can sit there and say, this is going to be a run play. Uh-huh. Oh, they're going to go pass it like this. It's going to be another run play and everything. So if I'm figuring it out, teams already are figuring out. They already said they had figured it out.
Yeah.
It was almost like the defense knew exactly what they're going to do. They were in their skin. And Michael Parsons didn't even, like, have a great game because they were trying to make sure that he didn't get to the quarterback, but other people were.
Yeah, I know. And he didn't even dominate. I know. I'm with you, Donna. I am. Will, you got the last question?
Yep. All right, other than a victory, Donna, what do you want to see from this team on Sunday?
You said other than a victory. Yeah, I mean, you want to see this team improve. we all want to see that victory.
Yeah.
I mean, you really want to see this offense get all – I mean, you know, what's scary is that they've got injuries with Dotson being out.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Samuel was out, you know, earlier during the week, but it was just a little illness, so he should be all right. But they're missing some key people on the offensive side of the ball. But you got to go with what you have. So what I would like to see is this offense improve. I mean, as far as they come out with a little fire, this team come out not talking about we got fire, but you seeing that they got fire. I want to see an angry team go and beat up Tennessee. And then you look like, oh, man, they was really mad about this. They went out and got that game. They didn't want to lose. I want to see a team that's fighting to win this game. I want to see a fight in them. And, I mean, I don't care what they say or whatever, but I haven't seen that fight as far. I tell people I'm the most competitive person ever. I don't like to lose to little kids.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm beating the little kid.
Exactly.
The little kid.
They got to learn. They got to learn
and
today.
And so, therefore, yeah, I want to see that with them. I want to see you beat those little kids across the line of scrimmage from you. I want to see that fight in them that they're like that nasty team, like we coming at you, you know, but I haven't seen that. So I want to see them jump on this Titan team from the beginning of the game. And I want to see four solid quarters for both sides of the ball.
Well, Donna, hopefully they do that for real because I don't know. But I'm with you. I want to see fight.
If not, they're going to have to put me in a freezer to cool me off.
Well, Donna.
That's deep.
You say that's deep?
Yeah, that's deep. Put her in the freezer to cool her off, man.
I know, man. Hey, man, Donna cutthroat when it comes to Washington, man. She is. She's cutthroat with it. Hey, Donna, before I let you go, though, where can folks catch your weekly show and your other content, as well as how can they catch you on social media?
Teddy McGee's Pro Football Plus, Mid-Atlantic Sportsnet, Masson. You can catch on Wednesdays, Fridays at 10:30 p.m., Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, and then it's kind of like on other times and everything, but those are our three prime times.
Uh-huh.
They can catch it on if people don't have Masson, we have a YouTube channel and it's the Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus, so they can catch it there also. Tony McGee and myself have a podcast. It's called In the Minute.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm schooling Tony because I mean, I have a hard enough time with Gary and Tony on the show, and now I got to deal with Tony on the podcast to bring him up to speed on everything. I mean, it's hard. So they can catch up on that. It's weekly. Normally we're on Thursday and so forth. So, and then to catch me and what's happening with me, just Donna J. Hopkins, DJ HOP on as far as Instagram. And I just tell people, put the name in and it'll come up on the other social media.
She on Twitter too. She on Twitter.
Twitter too. Yeah. Hey, Wally.
Why I keep tweeting
a lot.
Yeah, why I gotta keep doing this?
He got me tweeting a lot. I don't really, get on Twitter, but now Wally got me all involved in Twitter.
That's exactly. You should. I keep telling you that. It's Donna Hopkins _, right? Is that, am I right?
Yeah.
There you go. See, I gotta do it for you. Look, yeah, folks, that's how you follow Donna on Twitter. Hey, Donna.
That's because I don't tell about Twitter.
you gotta. Look, Donna, you got to. Hey, Donna, thanks for being on. We appreciate you.
Been fun, guys.
All right. Thanks, Donna. Appreciate you, as always.
Thank you, Donna.
All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Absolutely. We appreciate Donna, but always. It's enough talking about losing, bro, because me and Wale, we got to interview one of the young kings of boxing. We got to interview boxing star Shakur Stevenson. We'll have that interview for you after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages. Yeah, dude.
For ages.
My bad, Will. For ages.
Deuces.
No, we won't start this over, Will. For ages.
You dig?
I'll say deuces. Deuces. You're supposed to say on
Empire. Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. It's a delay, bro.
I
come
know.
On,
I know. I can tell. Oh, man.
Take money. Westside. Bad boy.
Take money.
You know who the realest is. Westside, when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I your wife. We bust on bad boys for life. Plus, Puffy trying to see me weak. Hearts I rip. Vicky Smalls and Junior Mafia, some more. We keep on coming while we running for your jewels. Steady, keep on busting at the fools. You know the rules. Little Caesar, go ask your homie how I leave you. Cut your young ass up, leave you in pieces. Now be deceased. Lil' Kim, don't around with real cheese. Quick to snatch your ugly ass off the streets. So, peace. I let them throw it on.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, excuse me, with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com.
We are now joined by one of the young kings of boxing whose hard work has catapulted him to superstar status as he has achieved countless accolades at just the young age of 25. After 19 professional fights, he already sits on the pound-for-pound list of the top boxers in the world. He's a two-division world champion and now sets his sights on wreaking havoc at the 135-pound division, fighting out of Newark, New Jersey. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, Shakur Stevenson. What's good, brother?
What's good, man?
Glad to have you on, my man.
Good to have you on, man. So we want to start out real quick, have a little fun. I don't know if you play video games. I know you ain't got a whole lot of time. You trained. Maybe growing up you did. But you remember the boxing video games like Fight Night and Knockout King?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're a fan, but think about if you was a fighter on one of them games, how would you like that? And the dope part about playing them games, you could fight people from past generations, different weight classes. Who would you like to fight if you was on a video game like that, your character? And just what type of fighter would you be on it?
I think I'd be like a 95 overall. I would like to fight Manny Pacquiao, because where I used to play on the game, he used to knock everybody out.
Who was Manny Pacquiao was on Fight Night?
He was on them joints.
He was on the last one.
Yeah, he was on the joints. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I used to do Floyd. Floyd was sweet in that joint, though. Floyd was sweet. So, you named after one of my favorite rappers. He's the GOAT, bro. What's your favorite Pac song?
Favorite Pac song, probably either Hit 'Em Up or Hail Mary.
Hail Mary is one of my favorites too. So before a fight, do you ever rock out to Hit 'Em Up though? Like kind of get you hype and ready to go?
Yeah, I do.
I know that's right.
Hit him up. That's a dope one.
That's a dope one. All right, let's get right into it. And so in your last fight, man, to me, you dominated Oscar Valdez. So what was your mindset going into that thing?
For Rocks,
it was It was easy work, I feel like. I just knew what it was when I was going into it.
So his last fight was Robson, though.
So, I'm sorry, my bad.
It was just this past Saturday. That was easy work, too.
That's what I did. I was throwing up when he asked me.
My bad, bro. My bad. It's my fault. But like your mindset going into it, and, you know, obviously there was a lot of talk about the weight or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, bro, like, you're a young dude, you're 25. Like, that has to be hard trying to make weight. Like, so talk to our listeners. How difficult is it?
I mean, when you fight at 130 pounds and it's like your sixth fight, I mean, you got to think about it. I'm fighting, what, 2 times a year? This is my sixth fight at the weight. That means I've been here for a long time, if we put it in perspective. But it was hard. It was one of the hardest weight cuts in my life. I ain't never had to go through that in my boxing career before. But that's just – all that means is it's time to move up. That's how I look at it. Like, it's time to go up and wait. I done got bigger.
Uh-huh.
We do this show out of DMV, you know, DC, Maryland, Virginia, and you get to train around here. What made you want to train in this area, and what was the experience like?
I ain't gonna lie. I think out of everywhere I've been, either DC or Vegas got like the best sparring.
Wow.
Like, being honest, like down there is where like I got the best work. I done went down there and sparred with the Gary Russell, Antoine Russell. I done sparred with Tank when I was down there, Lamont Rhodes. Mike Reed. It's some good fighters that I done sparred down that way. So I think I done got my best work from down there.
Oh, snap. We got to tell Anthony Peterson that one late, because he was like, Texas, he felt like it's probably the best place for boxing training. So I appreciate that. But that's what a lot of people say in terms of sparring, in terms of just the crop of fighters, that they get that work in. Man, we're going to ask you about the Russell brothers later. That's what we cover mostly here in the DMV. So we'll have a question for you then. But we want to talk to you, too, about fighting in Newark. Of course, you fought in Newark. Your past fight had a crowd over 10,000. I know they already asked you many times just what that felt like. But I also want to know what it would feel like to fight in, like, AC, which, you know, AC used to be like the fight capital in Jersey. And shoot, it was equal to Vegas at one point.
I'll probably be the person that bring it back there. I ain't gonna lie. I think I'll be the person to make boxing alive back in Atlantic City. But I fought there before. It wasn't – I'm not as big as I am now, so it wasn't that crazy of an experience. But – I know when I come back, like whenever I do go out there and we have a fight out there, I know I'm going to sell out.
Sweet.
So, you know, being at 135, who would be your dream matchup at 135?
I ain't got none. I ain't got none.
I love it.
Got not one person on there. They all good fighters, but I'm coming to take over the weight class. So I ain't putting nobody on no pedestal nowhere. Yeah, okay. Everybody right there, and I'm coming to get everybody.
All right, so for me, when I watch you fight, like, I always, you know, tell my homies, like, yo, this is like the next Floyd. Who do you compare yourself to?
I don't compare myself to nobody, but I appreciate the Floyd comparison, because I understand it. Like, that's why I can say I understand, because I feel like we smart fighters. Like, yeah. We one of the people that we don't give nobody nothing. You got to earn everything. Like, if you land a punch on Floyd, like when Shane hit Floyd, he earned it. Like, you know, he earned that shot. Like, that was the punch that he earned. We're not just giving no shots away. So I think in that aspect, that's why I could see, like, where the Floyd comparison coming at. Like, my eyes, I could see everything real good. And I don't let nobody just land a punch on me.
All right, so I mentioned that we covered the Russell brothers. They always, you know, complimentary, cool brothers. They said that they knew you was going to move up. This was 3 years ago. Remember, Ole? They was like, he's got a bigger frame. Like, Shakur not going to be at 126 for a minute. But as you move up in weight, you do get closer to who you mentioned. You get closer to Antoine. Is that a fight you could see yourself one to be interested in the future?
Yeah, if it come down to it. I ain't going to lie. Like, if I'm being honest with you, he gave me, like, some of my best work ever, like, as far as, like, sparring. Me and him, we done did like 12 rounds straight in the heat. They gym so damn hot.
It's hot, bro. That thing hot is, I don't know what, man. I was sweating like I was back in Africa or something, bro. I would not lie to you, man.
me and him done went to war like in the heat. Like, and I gotta respect him. Like, I ain't gonna lie, he a fighter I say that I respect, because he made me earn. He made me earn a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like even when I spar with him, I go spar other people and it ain't as hot. It ain't as much pressure on me. Like, he's putting pressure nonstop and he bigger than me, so I gotta fight him off. But yeah, I think me and him would be a hell of a fight. I think that's like the Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler if we ever do fight. Like, I feel like it'll be that kind of fight. So hey, I took my hat off to him. I think he'll hell of a fighter. I actually think he the best fighter in the DMV area right now, if I'm being honest. Him and Tank, but other than that, I think they're the best two fighters out there.
Yeah, Antoine definitely got game. Well, we appreciate having you on, my man. Is there anything you'd like to add before we let you go?
Nah, that's good.
All right, appreciate you, man. All
right, appreciate you, bro.
All right, you too.
All right. Dope, man. Dope individual, man. Dope individual. All right, as part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with NBA great and Fisk University's men's basketball coach, Kenny Anderson, after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for I Just Yeti. Deuces.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New York.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T. And we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. We want to thank you all for tuning in to our show. We appreciate you all. Before we sign off, listen to our HBCU Corner interview with NBA great and Fisk University's men's basketball coach, Kenny Anderson. All right, y'all, enjoy, and thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray, part of Empire Media, AmpireMedia.com. Wole, this is yet another opportunity. It's one of the rare opportunities, but it is an opportunity that I have where I can say our guest really needs no introduction. That doesn't happen often. You already know what it is. As he was the second overall pick in the 1991 NBA draft out of Georgia Tech that preceded a successful 15-year NBA career. During his hoops journey, he amassed numerous accolades, including Gatorade National Player of the Year, Mr. Basketball, ACC Rookie of the Year, All-American, and NBA All-Star. He now looks to translate that success as a player to his coaching career, as he is currently tasked with the job of being head men's basketball coach at Fisk University. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene and HBCU Corner, Coach Kenny Anderson. What's good, Coach?
Everything is great, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Yeah, we appreciate you being on. So, Coach, a lot of folks may not be they might not know a lot about Fisk University. Yeah. Can you tell our listeners about the university?
It's 1866, man. One of the founders. You know, down in Nashville, Tennessee, HBCU. It's huge, man. I'm learning a lot about the historic, you know, Fisk University. You know, as we speak, I'm learning daily about it, you know, about the blacks. And it just was crazy, man. You know, when they was growing up here in Nashville, Tennessee, it was just, I don't really want to get into stuff I'm learning about it. Uh-huh. It's real hard, man. Uh-huh. It's real hard with the blacks or whites. It's real difficult uh-huh. to even discuss it.
Wow.
You know, but I'm here to coach the team. You know, uh-huh. it's a great academic school. Great. Uh-huh. One of the best HBCUs in America. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're trying to bring up the athletic program, the volleyball, the basketball. Now we got the first gymnast team in the Tennessee area, HBCU. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's great being here. It's great being here. And I love coaching these young men.
Well, sweet. Well, Coach, I just want to mention that my first radio interview years ago
yeah.
was actually with you. You won't remember it, but you wow. came on with Mike Knox to talk about cigar smoking, man, back then.
Oh,
I
don't wow. know if
you're still on that. But yeah. it's just amazing that you're here now at Fisk University. I'm sure it's been a blessed experience just for you personally.
Yeah, it's definitely been a blessing. I went to Division I school, Georgia Tech. Everything was, you know, given us, you know, it's just difficult here, but I'm in the process of raising money for the school and doing right by my team and the athletic program in general, you know, and that's what I'm planning on doing. And I've been here for 4 years, but the third year was, you know, with the COVID went on, they canceled the season.
Uh-huh.
So I've been here 3 years. So I'm real excited about our team this year. So, you know, just we'll see what happens, but I got to still, you know, work on me in the process. And right. I'm working on those young men as we get started.
I feel you. So, Coach, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you went to Georgia Tech.
Yes.
A great career in Georgia Tech.
Yes.
So in terms of the environment, like we'll yeah. forget all the money and whatever, the yeah. environment, campus environment, what's the difference between an HBCU environment and, like, you know, going to Georgia Tech?
So just black and white, man.
Okay.
I'm going to call it, you know, I'm going to call it how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's HBCU. I never experienced it. You know, our homecoming game against Morris this year is real packed. Houses, it's crazy. The dancing, it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then our game, you know, at Georgia Tech was real different. Just sitting around basketball.
Mm.
You know, we had the Lethal Weapon 3. Myself, Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver. It was just awesome. We had everything. You know, everything. You know. So I'm just trying to give my team, you know, love, you know, basically love, you know, that I care about them. It's more than basketball with me. It's about, you know, what after basketball, how can I help these young men, you know, provide for their lives?
Mm. Well, shout out to Dennis Scott. He's from the DMV. We do this show from the DMV,
yeah.
from the DC area. Yeah. You know, and also speaking of the DMV, we actually had a series called the DMV A Ballers series, which featured we had interviewed folks like Monty Williams,
yeah,
Walt Williams, and all of them mentioned you about your back in the day in high school, how like you was this mythical legend, right? They all mentioned you, man.
Yeah.
And do you remember playing in like the DC Capitol Classic back in the day?
Yeah, I remember playing with against Kurt Smith.
Kurt Smith, exactly.
Y'all got some awesome talent. You know, Walt Williams played at Maryland.
Uh-huh.
I really respected Walt, you know, because he didn't go nowhere when they was under uh-huh. probation. He stayed and really uh-huh. balled out.
Yeah.
You know, he gave Maryland that second win that they needed under Gary Williams. And they just awesome players, man.
Uh-huh. Also, I'm going to say this for my age. You know, I used to play video games back in the day. Everybody know about NBA Jams. Was anybody yeah. was anybody seeing you in D.C.? Was anybody seeing y'all too?
DC wasn't seeing me, man. DC wasn't. Nah, I'm a New Yorker. You know how it is. We don't give no credit.
No, Derek Coleman. Talk about Derek Coleman. Oh, Derek Coleman gets no credit?
Nah. All the players get credit, but New York is really hard. Hard ballers. You know what I'm saying? You saw point guards.
Ah, there it is.
Your man, Kevin Durant, who's from that area, his production company did it, and he did a great job.
And he got to ask now. Well, he already went there.
He already dropped.
Yeah. Ready to ask you about that. It's amazing how that happens on this show. Perfect.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I'm glad someone thought about the idea to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, to really capture the New York point guards.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so many guys that didn't make it that was pissed off after they saw it. But you can't win for losing, man. That's life.
Hey, we had that. Hey, coach, that the same thing happened with the PG documentary. The same thing happened with Kevin Durant. So many people were so upset that they weren't on that initial documentary.
Yeah,
so it's wild. You can't make everybody happy. You're right. You can't.
No, just calls for part two, though. Mark Jackson, that's one of my favorites from there. Though. We've been talking about that for weeks, but we can move forward, though. Go ahead, Waller. You got it, brother.
All right. So, I mean, you mentioned, like, really, basically, this is going to be your third year, you know, at Fisk College, Fisk University, excuse me. So, what are some of your goals for the upcoming season?
So, I'm just trying to change the culture, basically, the culture, the winning culture, change their attitude, you know, about the game of basketball, but also a game of life. You know, I'm dealing with a lot of 20, 21, 22 year old guys, and you know, who but me? I can change it. You know, I can give them information. At 51, I played on every level, and was successful at it. But also, I had my demons also. So you know, I know how the game goes, and I can help them. You know, with their whole career, and that's what I'm trying to do. Just give back. Just give back.
I mean, like I mentioned before, you're to me, like in my era, you're one of the best point guards in basketball in the NBA. I'm not just saying it because you're on the show. It's a fact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're coaching kids and, you know, you would, like you said, you've done it before. You've done it at the highest level in all phases of basketball, right?
Yeah.
High school, college, the NBA. In terms of your players, are they valuing that resource? You know what I mean? Because you are like, especially your point guards, are they valuing you as that resource?
Now I think they are, you know, after 3 years, because, you know, their mothers and fathers know.
Yeah.
But they didn't know. They know now. They're like, wow, okay. So they ask me a lot of questions, you know, about the game, you know, about life. And I'm real. So I try to give them, you know, the realness, you know, about basketball, about life, about anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been great. I love it here. And my daughter is a senior here at Fisk University. So she loves it too. She's getting a real spiel of HBCU, and that's a blessing.
Love it. I love it. Are you teaching? You teaching the point guards not the carry. You teaching them how to really show their pack, right? Are you? I mean, could they all want to be like James Harden? They always want to travel. They all want
to
travel.
I'm trying
like
to teach them to Allen Iverson.
No, I know that's right. So, Coach, also, how is the recruiting process going for you? And if anything, you want to highlight some players?
Yeah, you know, Tyron, I recruited him. You know, he's a great player. He's from Ohio, I recruited first year. This is the first year my team is with me now,
so
I'm excited about that. But he's legit, you know, player. Then I have Ethan, you know, Ethan played with last year, one of the top in the conference. Jamon, you know, he was a freshman of the year in the conference.
Uh-huh.
So I'm building. So I think this year we're going to be very good. We're going to be very good.
What's interesting about your experience is, like you said, you're new to an HBCU relatively, and you're being educated. You're growing in this experience. So I'm wondering, how long do you think it's going to take before you can just translate your growth in this experience to your players who will be coming to an HBCU?
I think I did it already. I just got to keep giving it off. Keep being real. And I'm real. And I know where I came from, how can I help them grow as human beings? That's the main thing. And that's why I love my job. I love it. Not so much the wins and losses. We'll get there. We'll get there. But I got to be real with them and be honest and upfront. And, and that's what I'm trying to, but I think I got most of my guys, you know, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. Once you believe in yourself, sky's the limit. You work extremely hard in school, classroom, and then on the court, and then you can go places. You can go places.
So, Coach, how difficult, you mentioned, you know, you came in during, like, the COVID era. How difficult has it been, like, to recruit and just the whole recruiting process during the COVID era?
Well, the COVID era was crazy. We had a season, but, it was just nuts. Last year, it was tough. But I had the guys that worked extremely hard for me, and it was just difficult in the COVID years. But right now, I think it's changing now, and we got to get it together, and we got a new AD. So, you know, we'll see. It's going. It's going up here at Fist. Going up.
I know. It definitely seems. Like I said,
patient. You got to be in anything in life. You got to be patient.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to happen for you. I mean, like I said, you're a great resource, and especially in the days of basketball, with guard oriented now. You know, back in the day, it used to be bigs oriented. Now it's guard oriented. So if those kids are willing to listen to a dude that has done it in all levels, you know, they should. Yeah. They'll be all right.
I love it, man. We'll get it together. I love it. I love the administration. They're helping somewhat. And I just got to keep grinding. I got to keep grinding. It's something new to me. Keep grinding. It's new to me.
Oh, what? So it comes so easy? Because it comes so easy, right? As a hooper.
Yeah. My life was easy. So now it's difficult now with the sponsorship, the certain games we get to travel and to see. They got to see different life experiences. And that's what I'm trying to give these guys.
Oh, I do have one more question before I let you go. You mentioned some of your great teammates for evening in college. Do you ever have them try to come down and talk to some of your kids?
Yes. Dennis Scott came down, Brian Oliver, you know, Malcolm Mackey from Georgia Tech. All those guys came down. Kenny Smith is coming next year to speak.
Awesome.
You know, I'm trying to do that yearly. Different guys sitting out practice. Derek Coleman. You know, we talk, you know, he said he's going to come down for the weekend, watch a game, talk to my kids, watch practice. So they need that. And that's what I'm trying to do. I know so many people, but so many people, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Some people say they're going to come and never come.
I get it.
You know, that's just life. That's just life.
Yeah, we understand. We know that. We know that ourselves. We
hey, I just want to say though, I don't know how heavy you are on these social media streets, but HBCU basketball coverage, HBCU sports coverage is huge right now, no matter what division or level you at.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I try to preach. It doesn't matter whatever level you at, just be the best at it. Uh-huh. And then somebody's gonna come and find you, regardless.
Yes.
It's different. It's different when I played. But now, you know, they look at scouts. I got two young men, you know, going overseas that played for me last year. So I'm just trying to help any way possible.
Definitely. Well, Coach, thanks for being on. We appreciate you. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, man, I just wish, you know, I just want everybody to watch the growth of Fisk University, watch us play, and basically that's it. You know, we're up and coming. We're up and coming.
Love it. Love it. Hey, thanks for being on HBCU Corner with the Urban Sports Thing. We appreciate it.
My man. Thanks, man.
No problem.